Revival is for the church. And so I want you to get some help this week. And I know God can do that. We need Him. We need Him. And I want to talk to you tonight about Judas. And most of the time when we talk about Judas, we're talking about lost church members. And I'm not going that route at all tonight. I was reading through the Bible the last 2 years. I've always read my Bible. I've always studied my Bible, but the last 2 years, God just put it on me just to read. I mean, read a lot. And in 2021 and 2022, between those 2 years, I read the entire Bible 11 times and read the New Testament another 16 times on top of that. Read the whole Bible through in 23 days one time. And I was reading through it and just came across a few thoughts that I want to give you tonight about Judas, that I believe God will help you with if you'll hear it and preach to the church tonight and preach to the Christian tonight. You say, but Judas was a lost man. Yeah, I'm going to preach a little on that, but I want to deal with some things that I believe God will help us with. John chapter number 6, let's stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter number 6, your preacher's about to work me to death, so I got about 20 minutes of preaching in me tonight. I preached twice this morning. And I did something this afternoon I never do. I went over to the good house that Cross Points got, and I took a nap. And that don't happen. If I take a nap, it's usually because I'm sick. I just don't sleep in the day. Now, my wife could lay on the floor right there and take a nap. But once the sun comes up, my eyes are open. But today, I went and took a nap. It didn't last but 15 minutes, but I took a nap. And so I'm excited about it, sir. I'm going to preach as long as I need to tonight. But I want to give you a few thoughts, and then we'll let you go to the house, or hopefully let you go to the altar. John chapter 6, look at verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? We were talking today about people when they leave. Jesus didn't beg them to stay. In fact, he looked at the ones that left and said, y'all want to go with them?
Right.
Amen. Then Simon Peter answered, boy, Peter messed up a lot of times, but he knocked it over the fence with this one. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. You know what? Peter got a little bit of encouragement, because when the Lord said, will you also go away? There's a few of them that stuck with him. And Peter looked around and said, these ain't quitting on him. Because he said, we believe. He included the whole crowd that was left. And are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Lord, we come to you tonight needing you, Lord, in this service. God, nothing I have is good enough for what needs to be accomplished. But Lord, your power and Lord, your unction and Lord, the Spirit of God can do what I cannot do. And I ask you, Lord, to help me and fill me and use me. Bring back to remembrance what I've studied and thought about. Make it easy, Lord, to preach tonight. And God, I'll give you glory for whatever's accomplished. Give Brother Sherrod the desires of his heart for this revival meeting. Give this church a stirring this week, Lord, that it'll not get over for many, many days and weeks and months to come. Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And I ask you, God, to do it. Thank you for what's already been done. But Lord, we believe there's greater times and greater days and greater miracles, Lord, for this church in the days to come. And I ask you, for Jesus' sake, to let tonight be one of those nights, God, where we put another block in the building, where we put another brick in the wall, God, to building the church and building this ministry. Lord, thank you for letting me have a small part in it this week. And I pray that God will not just come out of habit and routine tonight, but that we'll all be hungry and thirsty, Lord, for you to do something in our midst, and we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. For it's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to deal tonight with a subject that the title really is not anything spectacular, but the Word of God is amazing. And I'll show you three instances in the Word of God in the life of Judas that when I was reading and saw this, it just amazed me about this. And I want to preach on the power of a choice. The power of a choice. And I was reading through this passage and also another passage that I'll get to in a moment in the book of Acts. But, you know, Judas wasted his life. And I'm not just talking to young people tonight. I'm talking to everybody. Because everybody sitting in here has got a life tonight. We don't know how many more days we got. I mean, I might leave this world on, is it 7:95 tonight? I don't know. I last night y'all pray for me. I think I'm getting dementia or something. But last night I went over to Walmart, not the big Walmart, but the Marketplace Walmart, and I got a few things for the house, and when I left, I punched my phone GPS in 400 East Main Street, and I just saw it come up. I didn't put my glasses on. I wasn't looking good, and it said about 22 minutes. I said, well, that's about right, and so I started going, and I was just listening to the radio, and I got over there, and it said, you are 2 miles on your right, and I said, well, I'm just about there. I can get a shower and go to bed. It's been a long day, and all of a sudden, I saw a sign that said, welcome to Elm City. I had punched in 400 East Main Street, Elm City. Lord have mercy. So I don't know where I'll end up tonight. It might be 7:95. It might be 42. I might spend a night on Webb Lake Road. I don't know. My wife, she said, what's wrong with you? She said, are you getting old or something? I said, it was the phone's fault. It wasn't my fault. But I was thinking about this. I don't know how much life I've got left. I'm 48 years of age now. I may have another year. I may have another 20 years. We're not. But I know one thing. I want to make every day I've got count for the kingdom of God. And that ought to be your desires, to not waste any opportunity. God has given Down East Baptist Church a great opportunity. And He has given your family a great opportunity by being a part of what God is doing around here. I don't know if y'all stand amazed, but I kind of like hanging around your preacher. Because you know what? He's always excited about what God has done. Every time I come, or every time we talk, he's pointing at something. God did this, or God did that. Right. Wait till you see our new piano. Come around and show you what we did out back. And we're trying to do this. And I love that, because he's got some vision. Don't waste the opportunity that God has given y'all at this church. And we can learn a lot from the life of Judas, because he wasted his life. Right. He wasted it. And I want to give you three things tonight that Judas wasted. The power of a choice. The power of a choice. And he never stopped making choices. Well, I've been saved 40 years and I'm 70 years of age. You're still making a choice on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And just because you're no longer a teenager don't mean you can't ruin your life.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you can't ruin your home.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you can't ruin your testimony. It don't mean you can't ruin the unity of the house of God. I'm going to give you three things. The first one we're well aware of. He wasted the love of Christ.
Amen.
He wasted the love of Christ. Here is a man that spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. Now, I've been saved since I was 5 years old, and it's pretty good being saved. And I've got the Spirit of Christ in me. We are indwelt by the Holy Ghost. But how many of you think that it would have been pretty awesome to spend 3.5 years on this earth, hand in hand with Jesus, walking around Israel? I think that'd been amazing. Here's a man that spoke to Jesus every day, face to face. Here is a man that saw the compassion of the Lord Jesus firsthand. Here is a man that saw the blind eyes open and the deaf ears hear, and he saw the dumb people speak, and he saw the legs be healed, and he saw those that were dead raised back. I mean, this guy saw some things.
Amen.
And yet he wasted it. He wasted the love of Christ, because he could have been just as close to Jesus as John the Beloved.
Amen. Right.
We know John the Beloved's over there laying on his chest at the supper while Judas is betraying the Lord.
Right.
John's over there laying on the heartbeat of Christ. And Judas is over there planning the betrayal. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, Judas was already planning all this. And he was already thinking about that. He could have been over there loving on the Lord. He could have been over there the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm amazed how Baptists get jealous because this one or this one. And they start comparing their lives with each other. Friend, you can have just as many prayers answered as anybody else. You can do just as much for God as anybody else. I think about all the great preachers that I've heard preaching in my life. I've been in church all my life. My dad's still pastoring. He's 76 years of age. And I mean, if there was a preacher preaching a meeting anywhere around us when I was young, he'd take us. If Percy Ray, yeah. Dr. Percy Ray was anywhere, I mean 2-3 hours from our house, we were loading up and going to hear Dr. Percy Ray. And Dr. Ray preached for us. And I remember as a boy hearing all them great. I heard B.R. Lakin preach when I was 7 years old. J. Harold Smith, I heard him preach one night on God's three deadlines and over 700 people got saved. I mean, unbelievable. Dr. Harold Seidler, we'd go hear him. And Mays Jackson and Billy Kelly. And I mean, just on and on. We was talking about Brother Joe Arthur. And you know, all those great preachers, all the great preachers that we know, at one time, they were sitting on their mama's lap.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Think about the greatest preacher you've ever met. I mean, think about the greatest godly grandmother that you ever met. She at one time was in diapers. She at one time had a bottle in her mouth. She at one time had a pacifier. I mean, you think about that, but oh, at some point they made the right choices and took advantage of the opportunities, and they are where they are. And so don't, well, I'm telling you, it's just not been good for me. I've seen people that were born to prosperity that ended up in poverty.
Right.
And I've seen people born to poverty that ended up in prosperity.
Man.
I've seen people that were born in drunkards' homes that ended up singing how great thou art, worshiping the Lord. It's not about your circumstance, it's about your choices.
Right.
And you can't control your circumstances, but you can control your choices.
Amen.
Judas had great opportunity, and yet he wasted it. He wasted the love of Christ. I don't know how I can make it any more emphatic, but there's a God in heaven that wants to be close to you.
Amen.
Man, I don't know how y'all feel when I say that, but there's something stirs in my soul.
Amen.
You know, he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
You can have as much of a relationship with God as you want, as much as you desire. There's a God that desires for you to know Him. He desires for you to be blessed by Him. He desires to give you life and have it more abundantly. But so many people in the world today are just like Judas. They waste the love of Christ. Judas did not yield to the love of Christ. And a lot of people want the love of Jesus without the Lordship of Jesus.
Amen.
They want His love, but they don't want His leadership. That's the modern day church. They only talk about the love of God, and I believe in the love of God. He loves me. But I also believe He's Lord. And He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. We got a generation now who wants one foot in the church and wants one foot in the world, and it don't work that way. They want to be at the honky-tonk on Saturday night and then be in Sunday school on Sunday morning. But that's not the Christianity that's taught in this Bible.
Amen.
It's like when Moses came there on the scene and the people of Israel there in Egypt. And you have the book of Exodus where they were brought through the Red Sea. That crowd loved Moses as long as he was their Redeemer. But when they got over in the wilderness and he brought those tablets of stone down off the mountain, they didn't want him to be ruler. And a lot of people don't mind Jesus being the Redeemer, but they don't want him ruling their life. But he is still the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the master. He's the master. He wants control of your life.
Amen.
People got this idea that when they get saved, they're free and liberated to do whatever they want to do. I don't know where they ever got that idea. Because when you got saved, you're still a servant.
Amen.
You're still a slave.
Amen.
Before you got saved, you were a slave to sin. But since you got saved, you're a slave to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, you don't hear that kind of preaching much anymore.
Good,
Everybody, all they want is liberty. I want to live the way I want to live and do the way I want to do. Oh, no, sir. The Bible teaches we're servants to God. We're slaves to God. Amen. Paul said, I'm a bond slave. And I'm telling you, he is a good master.
Amen.
Judas had the opportunity, but he refused to yield to Christ. A lot of people want Jesus as their Savior, but not as their sovereign.
Yep.
Judas saw absolute miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet it was not enough for him to give his complete devotion to Jesus Christ.
That's
something that scares me. I've heard all my life this statement, and I don't want y'all to jump off the wagon, all right? But I've heard this statement all my life. If you ever meet Jesus, you'll never be the same. I understand what they're saying, but right here's a man that not only met Jesus, here's a man that lived with Jesus for 3.5 years and didn't change.
Yeah, right. That's true.
And you can hear about him. You can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night, youth rally night, whatever's going on. But until you repent,
amen,
and until you yield, not my will, but thine be done. You can hear about him. You can hear him sung about. You can hear him preached about. But until you yield to him, you'll never see a change in your life.
Amen.
Now watch this. Judas didn't yield. You know what he wanted? He wanted to give Jesus a little bit, but he didn't want to give him everything. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now.
Come on, brother.
But I remember when Judas got upset because Mary come in there with an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard. Very costly, about a year's worth of wages. And she poured it out on the feet of Jesus and began to worship and began to wipe his feet with her hair. And Judas is over there in the corner saying, how come we didn't take that and sell it and give to the poor? He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was worried about the treasury that he was probably taking money out of.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And Jesus said, leave her be. It's amazing. Listen, I promise you this. I ain't preaching on this, but you can count on it. If you ever really devote your life to God and worship God and give everything to Him, it won't be the drunk crowd, the dope crowd, the prostitute crowd, the drug crowd that bothers you. It'll be some Judas in the church
That's
over there
right.
saying,
Amen.
I just think they're a little too fanatical.
Yeah, come on, Amen. Brother.
Amen. He was willing to give Jesus a little bit, but he wasn't willing to give Jesus everything. How is it in your life? Are you completely surrendered? We sing the hymn all the time. I don't know if we believe it. I surrender all to Jesus. All to Jesus.
That's right.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus. Have you ever really thought what it means to surrender all? And Judas, he wasted the love of Christ. I'm not preaching to the lost tonight, but if you're here lost without God, don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste the opportunity to be born again. Don't waste the opportunity to give your life to God, because it's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. I've got no sad stories to tell about trusting Jesus. I know that I've passed from death unto life. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Hey, it's good to be saved. Praise God. He wasted the love of Christ. Number two, go to the book of Acts. Take a right. The book of Acts, chapter number one. Wasted. He wasted the love of Christ. I don't want you to miss this now. In the book of Acts, chapter number one, the Bible said in verse number 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. And Peter said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. Verse 16, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Look at verse 17. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. And then the story goes on that they've got to replace him. And the Bible said that in verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Judas, because of the choices he made, wasted the love of Christ. But I don't want you to miss this part. He also wasted his leadership in the church.
Yeah, that's right.
He had the opportunity to be a founding part of the church at Jerusalem. One of the saddest things is not that Judas committed suicide. One of the saddest things that Judas not only ended up in hell, and one of the saddest things as well is the fact that he could have had his name among Peter, John, James, all of those men of God that God used. And you and I sat here tonight. You under how long's Down East Baptist Church been here?
3 years.
Almost 4 years. This thing was going on a long time before 4 years ago.
Yeah.
There's an unbroken chain of the Holy Ghost from these men in Acts chapter number 1 to you and I here tonight. Yeah. Somebody somewhere from this passage through the centuries, the first and second and third and fifth and tenth and 15th and on down to the 19th and the 20th. And then in 2019, I guess it was, there's a little church right here on Webb Lake Road. And here you are tonight, a part of this church. Some of you have been saved since the establishment of this church. And there's an unbroken line. There's an unbroken line from these men. Can you imagine what Judas could have had, but yet he wasted his leadership in the church? Judas could have been a pillar. But he was a sinner. So was Peter.
Yeah.
My soul, just 50 days before Pentecost, Judas is cursing and denying the Lord.
That's right.
And then he stands up and preaches and 3,000 get saved. And the first six times Peter preached, over 10,000 people got saved.
That's right. Amen.
Lord have mercy. I think about all the times I've preached and maybe had one or two saved. Peter preached six times, his first six messages.
Right.
And 10,000 people got saved. And Judas was not part of that. I was thinking about this church, about this early church here, and how Judas could have been a foundational piece. I wonder what missionary journeys. In the back of some of your Bibles, you can find a map, and it'll show Paul's missionary journeys as he goes through Asia Minor, different places. He goes through it as he's preaching. We could have had a page that said, the missionary journey of Judas. But there's nothing like that, because he wasted it. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Judas sold the love of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, but he also sold the leadership of Christ and the church for 30 pieces of silver. And instead, a man by the name of Matthias became the 12th apostle in his place.
Right.
Now listen to this. The will of God and the work of God and the worship of God are going to continue with or without you.
Amen.
There have been people that's left my church over the years, pastoring 25 years, and I know they had it in their mind. I give too much. I've got too many abilities. I play too many instruments. It's going to hurt that church when I leave. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm mad at my preacher. I'm going to take my tithes. I'm going to take my talents, and I'm going to take my time, and I'm going up the road to another church. Oh, it happens, doesn't it? If you decide to do that, would you do me a favor? Would you ride by Down East Baptist Church next Sunday on your way and see if the lights are on?
Amen.
Because I'm going to promise you this. The church is not established because of Brother Jeremy or because of Brother Sherrod. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The will of God, the work of God, and the worship of God are going to go ahead. With or without me. Every now and again, God just reminds me. He'll point out a little boy in the church. You know, say, if I want to, I could raise him up right now. He'd get up and preach circles around you.
Yeah.
Brother, he don't need me and he don't need you.
Right.
And that's evidenced in the fact that Judas was replaced by Matthias. The church is going to carry on. The second coming of Christ is still on schedule. Heaven is still waiting. God is still on the throne. Worship is still ringing out around the throne of God. And the plan and purpose of God is not changed when I make a bad choice.
Amen.
I know a lot of men used to preach just like we preach, stand just like we stand. They're completely out of the ministry right now. And yet the church marches on.
Amen.
the church marches on. One of the worst things you can ever do is think, ah, that church has got to have me.
Yeah, come on.
The church does not have to have you.
Right.
God don't need me.
Right.
But I sure do need God.
Right.
And even though God don't need me, let me help you. He has allowed me to be a part of it. Listen, he chose Judas. Yet he didn't need Judas.
Right.
He chose him, but he didn't need him. Because they put Matthias right in his place and the church sailed off.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you hear me well, you can waste your leadership in this church.
Yep.
I don't know this church. I preached here one time before last night. Brother Scott and I talk on the phone once in a blue moon. We see each other and meet every now and again enough to know we've got a kindred spirit, but we're not tight. We're not close. You're my friend, but you know it. I love him and he loves me, but I don't know what goes on at this church because you got a good pastor that don't gossip about you. Hello.
Amen.
But I know Baptists. I've been one for 48 years. In fact, I went to a Baptist church 9 months before I ever got here.
Amen.
Amen. Probably had a shouting spell before I ever got here the way my mama shouts. Amen. And I know Baptists and I know this. I know Brother Scott Sherrod has a desire to not build this church by himself.
Right.
And he needs some men and some women who will be pillars in this church. Not so they can brag to the community about what they are for the church. Not so they can talk about it and tell everybody what they are. The crowd that talks about what all they're doing, they're not doing anything. That person that tells you how much they pray, they're not praying. Is everybody okay? Oh, I just lost one last month. Brother Kenny Baisley. He'd been there the entire 10 years that I've been at Thanks to Calvary. I was at another church for 15 years. When I went to Thanks to Calvary, we had 19 people. First service I was there. And I said, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do? And he said, yes, this is it. Kenny and Kathy Baisley were two of the 19. And we lost him last month. He died with cancer. And I mean, one of the best friends I ever had in this world. And he sat on the front pew, right on the end of the pew. He sat on this side for about 7 years. And then he sat on this side, right on the front pew, on the end, for the last three, because all of our young people have taken over this side. There's about 30 or 40 that sit on the first three or four pews now. So Kenny just kind of moved on to the other side. And you know what? If you came to my church over the last 10 years and you saw Kenny Baisley, plain, simple, nothing special about him. Rotten teeth. Clothes were wrinkled. Hair a lot of times wasn't even fixed. In fact, you'd think that we'd probably, a few times he'd come in, you thought we'd probably just picked him up on the street. Because he really didn't care. But I'll tell you what he did. He was constantly undergirding me. Constantly encouraging me. Constantly, when I'd get up and preach something tough and he knew that I was hitting something hard, he'd be the first one to me and say, that's what this church needs.
Amen.
That's what this church needs. I lost one of my pillars. And you know what? In the world's eyes, Kenny Baisley, he wasn't nothing.
Right.
He didn't hardly have a dime to his name when he left this world.
Yeah.
Our church paid for his funeral.
Yeah.
One of the men in my church built his casket. And I stood up in front of that church on that Sunday evening. And I wept like a child. I wept like a child because one of the men that I knew had my back was in glory. That's the kind of men that Scott Sherrod needs.
Amen.
That's the kind of women that this pastor needs. It's not people that want to be patted on the back and want to be bragged on and want to be, you know, applauded. If you do your work for the applause of men, friend, you've got your reward.
Right.
But boy, we need some people that are just being the shadows, serving God in the shadows. Whether they're on the stage or in the limelight or whether their name's on a sign, they don't care. They're just willing to be a pillar in the church. That's what the church needs.
Amen.
And Judas wasted it.
Right.
He could have been a foundational piece of the church.
Yep.
But he's dead. He's all over there. Hung. Bowels have gushed out.
That's right.
In his own place, the Bible says. But I saw something else. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. I want you to go to the book of the Revelation. Because not only did you see the wasted love of Christ, and you see the wasted leadership in the church, but I was reading through the Revelation, and I saw this verse, and it just jumped off the page, and I thought, my soul. In the book of the Revelation, chapter number 21, Judas wasted the love of Christ. Judas wasted the leadership in the church. But Revelation 21 and verse 14, listen to what the Bible, there's a description going on here of the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And look what John the Beloved wrote in verse 14 of 21. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Judas not only wasted the love of Christ, and he not only wasted the leadership of the church, but Judas wasted his legacy in the city.
That's right. Yeah.
Imagine when we get to glory and the New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, that holy city. Can you imagine Peter walking by the wall and saying, right there's, look yonder, there's my name. That's just no cussing fisherman. Has just no sinner, but he come by and said, drop your nets, I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen.
Or maybe Matthew would go over there and say, there's my name, I was just no thief, I was just no tax collector. Yeah. Right yonder, you see that name? But Jesus came by and rescued me. The 12 apostles are in the wall of the New Jerusalem, and Judas could have had his name in the walls of jasper, but he wasted that legacy in the city. The name Judas could have been carved into the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. Now think about that. When we walk through that city, you're not going to look over and see a stone with Billy Graham's name on it.
Right.
You're not going to walk over and see a stone with Charles Spurgeon's name on it.
Right.
You're not going to walk over and see a stone with Billy Sunday's name on it. You're not going to walk over and see a stone with D.L. Moody's name on it. There's not going to be a stone with Jeremy Simpson's name on it. But there could have been. There could have been a stone, Judas Iscariot.
Right.
That's why I'm trying to tell you tonight, choices matter.
Amen.
When the devil comes tempting, it matters if you give in or not. When somebody wants to talk about your church, it matters whether or not you join in.
Amen.
If somebody wants to talk about your pastor, it matters whether or not you tell them to hush their mouth or not.
Amen.
When it comes to you wanting to keep your pocketbook real tight and hang on to that for a rainy day instead of tithing for the work of God, it matters that choice that you make.
Amen.
When it comes to going out and knocking on doors and inviting people to come, but you decided you'd work too hard all week and you just can't make it to soul winning, it matters. That choice matters. On revival night, when you've worked all day and you didn't feel like coming, but you pressed on anyway, it matters, because that may be the very night that God sets the church on fire.
Amen.
Choices matter.
Amen.
Choices matter.
Amen.
Can I help you, mamas and daddies, just that little ones? The very night you decided to stay home might have been the night God was going to deal with your child about salvation.
Amen.
But you decided to stay at home, or decided to go to a ball game.
Yep.
Or decided to go to a band concert instead of being at church.
Amen.
Choices matter.
That's right.
Billy Sunday's name's not there. Harold Smith's name's not there. Harold Seidler's name's not there. Bobby Robertson's name's not there. Percy Ray's name's not there. But Judas could have been there. He wasted his legacy. I'm going to say this again. Don't you hear it? The will of God, the work of God, and the worship of God are going to continue.
Amen.
If you don't finish your assignment, God can raise up somebody to do it.
Right. Amen.
Judas did not finish his assignment, and God raised up Matthias to finish it. And if you give up or walk away from what God has told you to do and given you to do, God can raise up somebody.
Yeah.
God can raise up somebody. I'm going to say this and I want you to hear it. God wants to use you, but He don't have to. God wants to use you, but He don't have to. And there's a something about a new church that's special.
Yeah. Amen.
Thanks to Calvary, where I pastor, has been there since 1986, but they have dropped. Pastor that started the church, he built the church to about an average of about 275, and then they had trouble for about 8 or 10 years before I got there, and just, I mean, it went to nothing. They were just about to shut the doors. And over the last 10 years, I've basically built a church. We started with nothing. I've got one of the 19 left. One. I've got a brand new church full. And there's an excitement there. What God has given y'all over the last 3.5, 4 years is precious. Does this community need a church on fire?
Amen.
Y'all know as well as I do, the average church is dead or worldly.
Preach.
If it's more on the lines of the Bible, there's no life. There's just tradition and dead.
Right.
People set in their ways. Or then you got these over here, all they want to do is turn the lights down low and put some lasers on and some smoke coming out from the floor and just a bunch of flesh. But old time worship, real spirit-filled worship, is becoming a thing of the past.
Come on, preacher, you're on.
It's becoming a thing of the past, and God has given you a preacher that's got a heart for that. And if God could get you and him to continue to yoke up, there's no telling what God could do in here in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years if Jesus doesn't come. Don't waste the opportunity that God has given.
That's good, man.
He don't have to use Down East Baptist Church,
right. But
he wants to. He don't have to use Jeremy Simpson. But he wants to. I sing a song to myself all the time. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I preach to the Christian tonight. But I want to say to the lost, if you're here lost, don't waste the love of Christ.
Amen.
But is there anybody here tonight that would say, God, help me take serious the choices that are before me to not get wrapped up in the world? It still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, wasted, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody serious about serving God? Is anybody serious about serving God? This altar's open. Brother Hunter's going to play softly. Is there anybody serious that, God, don't let me waste one day. Don't let me waste one day of my Christian life. God, I want to be everything I can possibly be. I want to be everything I can possibly be. Lord, don't let us waste one service at Down East Baptist Church. Don't let us waste one message that our pastor preaches. Let's stand all over the building. Your pastor's in the altar. Would you join him? Would you come pray, God, make this church what you want it to be? Make me as a Christian what I ought to be. Lord, don't let me waste my life. Some of you young people ought to get in this altar tonight and say, God, let me live my whole life for you. Let me live my whole life for you. Let me give my all for you. Don't waste it. I decided to follow Jesus.